here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live right here on WSKV 104.9 FM. So again, thanks everyone for tuning in tonight. We are obviously not playing basketball and didn't play last night, so this is a back-to-back cancellation of games, which would be expected on nights like we have here.
Yeah, considering the way that the weather is, no surprises, and the fact that they've called off school here the rest of the week. No surprises as well. You know, the fact that there won't be any games for a week kind of puts teams in a little bit of a bind because they're actually not able to practice as well. So that's kind of a little tricky aspect.
Let's start right there. Now, if you go to, let's say, Clark County, where the roads probably less, there's still country roads out in Clark County, but I'm sure they'll be allowed to practice. On those, maybe you can come in. I can remember, 10 years ago, if we wanted to have practice, we could, but it couldn't be mandatory.
Yes, those that can make it in, come on in. If you can't,
now,
no problem.
I will say, I get both sides. But when you take a week off and you're not allowing the kids to have practice and they haven't played since, last Friday night?
Correct.
Then you're putting your teams at a huge disadvantage for other schools who are. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad call. I'm saying it's the same thing that we got into this seasonal thing where you can practice, where you can't, where you can have open gym or whatever it is. Our kids are getting behind. Basketball wise, not saying it's the wrong call, but it is what it is. If we don't have our kids a bit with the ability to go in and practice, again, there's only 4 weeks left, 3 weeks left of the season, and we're taking a week off. It doesn't help our student athletes get better, but I totally understand it on the school side for having the rule in place.
I get that as well. Conditioning, right?
You're losing it.
You definitely are losing it, and using the girls as the team, they don't go real deep on their bench. Those girls play a lot of minutes.
Yep.
When you're not playing for a week and you're not running the court, that kind of thing, for those 6-7 players that he goes, what's that's going to be like, you know, your next time out?
Well, I mean, we've said this before on the show, when I was working with Ken in basketball, I always kind of said, Ken, let's give him an extra day off. He said, can't do it. I said, I talked him into it once, and we took that extra day. And we were given, 2 days, and we took that third day. And as I have said before, that fourth day we came back, and I'm like, I could really tell a difference on that extra day.
Sure.
2 days I saw him come back, and they were still kind of sloppy, but on the fourth day, on that one extra day, they were absolutely horrible. Now, it doesn't take long to get it back, but in the same token, with the weather predictions that we're having them for Thursday and Friday, it does not look very good. The snow that we already currently have isn't going anywhere.
Nowhere.
I think the road department has done fantastic getting the main roads cleared. What they have got cleared, kudos to our county roads department. But as far as the back roads, I don't see those roads getting any better until the warm-up. And the warm-up isn't what forecast to be, next week?
Correct.
So, I think the school system is making the right call by going ahead and canceling school the rest of the week, because I don't think some of the roads are going to get better. And if the snow hits like it's supposed to, they're going to get bad again. And that might not wear off until maybe even midweek next week, even with a warm day coming in.
True. As much as these temperatures, as low as they are,
this is packed.
And the way that this county is landscaped,
yes,
right?
Yes.
There are a lot of roads that the sun is not going to hit them for a good long while until you get that warm up consistently. Some of that snow is going to be here for a while.
Listen, I always use my driveway as a barometer. We'll usually get melt toward the bottom of the drive. None. We still got the same snow on my driveway as we had when it first started. The top of my driveway is some of the parts like the county where it doesn't get sun. It melts when it gets warm enough.
Great, yeah.
And I just don't think with the extreme cold we've had for the few days, this pack is packed. If you drive on it a few times, it gets like really icy.
Oh, there's definitely a lot of ice in a lot of places, that's for sure.
This, again, when you just travel a little bit on these side roads, you can make them almost treacherous. You almost want the snow fall on top of it to be able to get any traction.
True.
Not that it's good traction, but again, I get to, you know, I'm thankful for our road department. They're doing a great job. They're out there in the cold, working hard and taking their chances. You know, their utilities companies, they do a great job getting out of this kind of weather and having to work. So kudos to all those workers that have to do all this. Now on the flip side, we got folks like, you know, Doug Brewer, who gets out and has to check the roads. I think it's a good call. You know, there's not really any need. It's not going to magically melt tonight to have school tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good call, called off the rest of the week. And it gives parents a little bit of heads up on what don't take care and some of those kinds of things that they can kind of take care of that in advance. You know, I don't see any need waiting for the day of to call off school whenever you know you're not going to have it. Just go ahead and call it. So that being said, back to the practice situation. It's a tough one. It's a tough call. You know, if I'm an administrator, I understand why they do what they do. As a coach, I'm begging you, please let us practice.
Right.
For whoever can make it in the gym. You know, the main roads are not bad enough to where that can't happen. But I don't necessarily want all the teenagers out driving on some of these side roads either. So
correct. If you're going to have practice, you almost need to do it, well, before now. Here it is, 6 o'clock, and it's already starting to get dark. And
practice needs to happen in the daylight.
Yes.
Around 1 o'clock, probably, 1 to 3, and no later than 5. You don't want it in the darkness. Now, I know these kids probably getting out and going anyway. And if they can do that, they can make it into a practice for a little bit. But I would hate the fact that a kid has an accident on the way to a practice. So I'm saying, if you had them, they can't be mandatory. If you get 8 kids come in out of 17, you get 8 kids that can work.
Right.
Other than that, don't worry about it. You know, it's no big deal.
And it's based on, obviously, where these kids live.
Correct.
Are they driving? Their parents taking them? What's who can take them if it's during the day?
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
They got to work, right?
Yeah, there's all kinds of...
Everybody's not a school employee.
Correct. Yeah, you're exactly right. A lot of factors, obviously, that play into that, and it's just a matter of how you take it from there. But the fact that, you know, they went on and called off school Thursday and Friday, give them props for that.
Yeah.
You know, giving everybody a heads up. You know, obviously, we could get into the non-traditional instruction days and, you know, making that kind of stuff up. But
yeah,
I'd like to know
the reasoning we don't use more, but I'm not on that pay scale. That's not. Doesn't really matter to me, but other districts use them, which means your year is shortened. All these days are going to have to be made up, and it's just, to me, I don't understand why we don't use what we can use. You know, if there's X amount we can use, I don't foresee us really missing. I think this may be our snows.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. Mm-mm.
See, I'm thinking late January, we should be almost getting close to over the hill with this.
I don't think so. No, I think that the way that the weather, when you start looking out west and what's happening there and up in Canada, when you kind of look at all of the snow and the storms and things that are happening there, I don't know. It's just an odd time right now. I wouldn't be surprised if we had snow late going into March.
I'm not saying we can't, because it has snowed during our seasons, the baseball, softball
sure,
seasons
yeah.
before in March. I've even had snows in April. I'm not saying that
it snowed on the Derby before.
Yeah, I'm not saying those things can't happen, but I just think the major snows with the warm up predicted for next week. I know that's what in the 50s, you know, it doesn't mean it can't snow, but it, you know, it's, I don't know, maybe you get a whole week of that and you're almost in February. Then you look at, maybe we get out of this with not much more snow.
Or maybe or maybe it hits like, you know, it has in the past where now all of a sudden we've missed now, we get a clearing and then we get hit again, we get a clearing, we get hit again. That's in my mind that's kind of where I lean anyway.
Like you said, we got 2 more months of snowfall that we can have at least left. So I get where you're coming from. I just maybe wishful thinking on my part.
Well, I don't want any snow, to be honest with you.
I don't mind snow.
I like seeing it. There it is, and it's all pretty, and then goodbye, and I don't want to miss any school or anything.
You mentioned it. Yeah, I like school, but some of the things I think we learned through COVID was we can do NTI. Our kids now have access more in the county to good Wi-Fi. It's more easily available to those kids. Not that it's all around the county, but it's better than it was a couple years ago. With those things being said, I wish, yes, a couple traditional days I'm good with. But when you have off, like all week this week is going to be pretty much a regular traditional week. And that's, to me, I think we'll at least use a couple NTI days this week. But that's
A missed opportunity. And yeah, who knows, again, that's
Today and tomorrow may have been your days that you had tradition NTI. If you wanted your staff to come on in if it gets worse, it's probably going to be late tomorrow into Friday.
Correct.
So maybe you could have had 2 days to be able to get some staff into work.
And obviously that's a question for the superintendent and the Board of Education to figure out, you know, what
we're just talking what you guys are talking
what,
about.
What qualifies as an NTI day and what are you using as a basis to call that or to not call that?
Don't you wish it was like in black and white somewhere how you can use your NTI days, because people get confused because other districts are using theirs right and left, and then we don't. Well, and I think we have some rationale for not using them.
But what is that rationale?
Yeah, I mean,
right, again, what are the points? What are the reasons? Any more than going back to the practice?
Yeah,
right? I mean, you know, what's the reasoning behind that? Is it student safety? Is it based on the back roads? You don't want them driving. It's again.
I think part of our policy for athletics is that it has been this way for the last few years. No school, no practice. You know, if you can't come into school, there's.
But then you could use that with NTI.
You could.
Meaning, you could. Like, okay, if it's not safe for students to come in, then why is it safe for staff to come in on a day like that as well? No
and
different
some
than
districts
practice.
Do not require staff to come in. They may work from home or they may not have to work at all.
Well, the district sets that policy.
Correct.
You know, it's local, not a law. It's not a law. The KDE gives guidelines, you know, but correct. You know, but still, but to look at those policies and figure out, okay, can we make any changes or adjustments? Again, what are those? And obviously the sport, I mean, we've missed school before different times throughout the year based on various things. And so therefore, when there's not school, like get that, all of a sudden, you know, you're not having practice based on weather, but sometimes it's not weather related.
Then you can have practice, right?
Right, exactly. Right. So again, I mean, what are those guidelines? What are you using and who's making those decisions?
Yeah, I don't think it's a blanket rule. I think it's just and again, a snow day, to me, if it's not safe to travel to school, then it's probably not safe to travel for practice.
Agreed.
Yeah. Now, if your parents could bring you in, I think that would be a whole different situation, but that's not what we have, so... like I said, I'm okay with it. It just puts us a little bit behind as far as the athletics go. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll come back and talk about girls basketball after the break.
Protex Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
What makes Whitaker Bank uniquely Kentucky? Our mission is to provide comprehensive banking products and services to our customers and to invest in the Kentucky communities where we live. Whitaker Bank is a reliable partner guiding you towards solid decisions for today's evolving environment and for whatever challenges tomorrow might bring. We are committed to building comprehensive, long-term relationships with our customers and the communities we serve. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it. So you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. I want to go ahead and talk about girls basketball, about where we are, and I had some tabs open. I'm going to try to get them open while you are starting.
All right, do me a favor. Turn me back up there when you get a chance there. Yep. There you go. That's good enough.
Can't hear
perfect.
Very well.
Huh? Yep. At this point, we're going to go backwards just a little bit because it's been a while since we talked about the girls as far as their games. The last time that we talked about the girls, they would have played Bath County. The Lady Pirates lost in a close game, 56-53. Lady Pirates ended up trailing in that game. Throughout most of it, they trailed in the first quarter, trailed at the half, trailed through three quarters, and then through the three quarters, they ended up getting down by as many as 13, I believe, trailed by 8 at that point, 47-39. And then came back in the fourth quarter, outscored Bath County 14-9, but ultimately ended up losing 56-53. It's probably one of those games the Lady Pirates could have, should have won. Some foul trouble was a little costly down the stretch. Bath County ended up making 6 out of 8 from the free throw line, 3 out of 4 in the fourth quarter. Makaira Caudill ended up fouling out. She had 2 quick fouls basically just to extend the game. We kind of talked about that. Other players need to step up in those situations. Not having Makaira in on the last set, didn't really get a great look on a three-point shot. But even prior to that, they got lucky to even get the ball back. But not having Makaira in the game, especially down the stretch there, the closing seconds, basically a little bit costly. She finished with 27 points. Trinity Romans had 18. Trinity had 5 three-point field goals. And it was really those field goals in the second half. She had 4 of those in the second half that really kind of kicked things for the Lady Pirates. Again, just came up a little bit short on that particular game, but they never give up. That's one thing about this Lady Pirate team. They don't give up. They're going to continue to hustle, and that's credit not only to them, but then their coaches, Rob Marion and Roger Townsend, do a nice job with them. And then the Lady Pirates played Friday night, played host to Estill County, and ended up losing that game to the Lady Pirates, to the Lady Engineers. Took the lead at the half, 19-17. And then in the third quarter, Estill County really just put it to the Lady Pirates. Lady Pirates only scored 6 points in the third quarter to the 17 for Estill County. And once Estill County took that lead, the Lady Pirates kind of chipped away here and there. But ultimately, Estill County came out with a nice win, 47-36. So they won by 11 points. Could have been worse than that in many respects. As far as the actual point total on the loss, Makaira Caudill had 24 points. Everybody else struggled. Trinity Roman just had 1 three-point field goal. Jessalee Centers had 6, and Ella Napier had 3. So again, you're not going to win many games when you just have one player that's able to score big numbers. And then for Estill County, they had 2 players in double figures, Haley Angel and Sarah Baker, and then Callie Snowden with 7 and Ava Hale with 8. So, you know, you've got those players that contributed. So Lady Pirates at that point had dropped those 2 coming into that. And then they followed it up, though, on Saturday with a nice win against West Carter. So you lose to Bath County in a close one. You lose to a district opponent. And Estill just dominated that one. But then to follow it up on Saturday and you go right back into action, the Lady Pirates picked up a nice win against West Carter. They won that one by 10, 50-40. So, again, a nice bounce-back win. And as David mentioned earlier, at this point, all the games this week have been canceled. Lady Pirates were scheduled to play Lee County and Wolf County, and both of those games have been canceled.
Just looking at some statistics on the Estill County game, Ken, field goal percentage, this is total field goal percentage, Powell County shot 22.6%. Three-point shooting, Powell County shot a whopping 6.2%. Free throws was only around, was that 65%? So, okay with the free throws, but when your shooting percentage is that bad, you're not winning.
Correct,
now,
yeah.
Now, I would also say I think Estill County did a phenomenal job defensively on the Lady Pirates. Normally, I would have to I'd say teams that usually play zone against us and do well. They play mostly man, and I was impressed by their defense. And I think that's why the scoring or the percentages are as low as they are. So you got to give credit to that game to Estill County. I think depth-wise, they have five players that you just can't focus on just one. And their best, one of their leading scorers is out with an injury. So looking at this going forward, I think Estill County is probably the better team. If Powell County can't step up with their performances. There are other people got to step up and score other than Makaira and Trinity. And for Trinity, I know she only hit 1-3 against Estill, I think. If that, and again, we shot several, but it's just like anybody else. If you shoot a lot of threes and you're not making them, it turns into one and done, you're going the other way real quick. And I think that game had a lot of that in it. It's not that we had a tremendous amount of turnovers. We did have more turnovers than usual, but we just didn't shoot well. And again, I think that was part and partial to the defense that Estill County was playing.
Yeah, and they were even in foul trouble, were the Lady Engineers, yes, early on. So the Lady Very Pirates aggressive. Couldn't, yeah, the Lady Pirates couldn't take advantage of that. And then rebounding, we didn't hit the boards like we normally would. Had some opportunities underneath. The Lady Pirates didn't score. And we've talked about this, throughout the season. At different times, different people have stepped up. Whether it's Emily Reed, Zaylee Strange, Jesley Centers, Amelia Cook, Ella Napier, Emma Rice. You have different players that will be in the lineup out on the court. And it's not that they don't contribute in other ways, but then offensively, we're not getting point production out of these players. Again, they might be able to rebound. They might block out offensively, defensively. They might face up against somebody really well and kind of limit the other opponent's opportunities, but they need to score a little bit more, and we haven't had that consistency with those players. Again, you might have a player that steps up and scores 8, but then the next game they might not score any. Then you go to the next game and they might score a point or two, so you're not getting that consistent point total where they're hovering around that 5-10 mark on a regular basis. And that, in some ways, is a part of the game. I'm not saying that that's why they're losing by any means. I'm just saying that is one of the factors, contributing factors to some of these losses where you're just not getting that point production from some of the other players.
Well, I think the Powell County, when you look at, and I was going to do this prior to, I didn't realize it took as long as it did, but they're coming in with a record of 8-11. It's an okay, I guess an okay record at 8-11, but the teams they have played, more than half, and probably almost 2/3 of the teams they've played, have losing records or at 500 or less. We're not beating anybody with better than a 500 record. The teams we're beating are less than 500. We're not getting the wins over anybody that's, I would consider a top-notch opponent. For the girls' side, I don't think we're at that level yet, and not sure we will be. If we get fortunate and have a big game out of Makaira and out of Trinity, and someone else chips in against somebody that's at 500 or better, and we get that win, okay, you can sell me. But right now, I just don't see. I don't know if this team's going to get there or not. When we play teams that have really good, strong defense, we don't do well. And, we have to pick on kind of, we have to pick on lesser opponents to get the wins. And I totally understand a win's a win, and they are. But you have teams you're supposed to beat on a schedule, as well as being close to or not winning. I mean, you know, when you build a schedule, or at least when I do, when I build a schedule, and I would say a lot, you try to build it to what, or I try to, a third of the wins, a third of the games you play, you can win, or a fourth of the games are wins, a fourth of the games you play are probably going to be losses, and the rest of your games, you're supposed to be competitive. Now, if your team is not strong, and I use my team this year, the softball team, I don't think we're going to be anything special. We have a chance to win some ball games because we got a nice pitcher and we got some pretty good hitters and decent defense. That being said, I don't think it wouldn't be reasonable for me to think this team's going to win over 12 games. That being said, you know, we've never really been predicted to do that well. So, when you look at the bigger picture of what you should do, and it's still difficult to find teams that will play you. If you've had a past of winning records, they still don't want to play. So in the past, you know, Powell County's had a pretty good reputation in the last, 15 years or so. It's tough to come here and get wins. So you don't get a lot of people that are not very good to come and play you. If you can find those teams on your schedule and put them on there, you need some W's, that's all well and good. But if you play against all the bad teams, you're not better when you get to the tournament time. So there's you still got to play some good competition. You've got to find a way to get better. But to find the way to get better has to be against the better teams.
And we're not. And another contributing factor as well is that when other teams might have a height advantage, they're getting the rebounds, they're getting that ball out quickly, we're not getting back in defensive transition and giving up some baskets. We don't necessarily have the speed and quickness.
We don't have team speed.
Correct, yes. We do not have team speed, and that's been costly at times as well.
When Makaira leads our team in rebounding, and she's one of our point guards, if she's down underneath the basket, fighting for a rebound and doesn't get it, and they go the other way, the rest of our team isn't real fast. So, you know, Emily Reed is the other guard. Let's say she's down lower, and she's taking a shot, and she's got pushed down and trying for rebounds or whatever she's trying to do, she's probably the first one to get back if Makaira's down. So the speed of the team is not up to where we would like for it to be. We have some quick players, but doesn't mean team. So I said this at the end of the broadcast against Estill County. All these stats we look at are nice, individual stats that we have. We got some top in the state. You know, I know Trinity's come in top 7, I think,
in scoring.
In 3-point scoring.
She's
Makaira's coming in at the top
16. 20
In scoring at 22, 23 points a game. Those are nice numbers. Those are great to pin up on a board later on in the season. But the big picture is, how's the team doing? And our team's not winning. And I think that our team, I'm not sure, you know, when you look at Owsley County, how we played with them the first time, I'm not sure how that happened, but we did. So are we capable of coming up with one of those games? Yes. Do I expect that on a regular basis? Probably not.
But the Lady Pirates are one of those teams that, kind of like the football team, you can't make mistakes.
No.
You got to be hitting on all cylinders, rebounding, offensive, defensive. You got to be hitting a high percentage of your 2-point field goals, your 3-point field goals, your free throws. And the Lady Pirates are actually in the top 50 as far as team free throws at like 68%. I think it's like 43%. But you have to hit on all cylinders. You cannot give up, you know, easy baskets in transition. You know, you have to have a complete game in order to pull off those wins. They're capable of doing that, but again, it's just not the consistency. And if I'm a team, as we've talked, if I'm a team going up against the Lady Pirates, I'm using full court pressure. I'm putting pressure on you and to try and let you beat me that way. You're a speed team, I'm just saying, if you're that type of team.
I get it. I just don't know if our team speed allows us to put that much pressure on anybody.
No, I'm saying if I'm an opposing team, full court pressure, I'm playing pressure defense against you to turn you over and take that lead. And
I'm with you.
And at that point, I'm hoping to put you down. Now, the Lady Pirates still have something in them. Because they have a tendency of coming back when they're down. They just can't get over that hump.
They don't quit.
They do not quit. Give them kudos for that.
And they play hard. I don't have any problems with their effort. And I'm not knocking anybody on their ability. I just, team-wise, we just don't have enough players who are experienced enough to where they are, have got themselves to where they're really pretty good ball players. So I don't think we have a lot of hustle. These kids play hard, and that's what they're supposed to do. But basketball skill-wise, we're short. And that is what it is. I'm not knocking anybody. I think it's a developmental thing. At some point, I always complain about our leagues because we don't have enough girls. Well, now we don't have enough girls playing our sports. And we're not getting the reputations we need at the middle school to come up because we're not having enough reputations when they're younger to get them ready for middle school. It's a catch-22. We don't get a lot of kids really ready to play, and it's a system failure. Not necessarily a team failure, but
and has been across decades.
Yes.
It's not like this just happened overnight.
But when I look at this team in particular, when you'd have so few players, only one player has come over from the middle school to play. I don't remember. I know last year I think only one player came over and played. That's 2 years in a row where only one player is over here from the middle school. When Ken was coaching, there was probably five or six every year. Before that, there were more middle schoolers coming up to play. So they're just not playing basketball. And this is going to continue to happen. We're going to lose three kids. We may not replace three. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And girls basketball, it's a problem. And I know it's happening because it's happening to softball as well. So we're in the same boat as they are. Our kids are not playing enough softball and basketball. They've got into where the volleyball's nice and fun. Soccer's nice. So these kids are choosing other avenues to play, and it's not our sports. And, it's been several years since kids have played summer, softball, a lot of kids. And I'm not saying you have to, but if you want to stay competitive, you got to have 6 to 8 minimum playing all summer to get ready for your season. And if you don't, you're just going to slip behind a little bit. And, I think the kids have got to do more. The community's got to do more. We got to get more involvement in with our city park stuff. Our community has got to do a little bit better with promoting youth softball, youth basketball, youth, and keep promoting youth volleyball and youth soccer. We've got a bunch of kids that need to do this, and we got to really keep our kids involved. Cheerleading seems to be doing numbers-wise doing fine. So we just got to keep producing more kids for all the sports that are out there, not just the two or three that are thriving right now.
And in many respects, it starts young.
Yeah.
Right? It starts that elementary school level where, you're dealing with first graders, third graders, getting them in that young to start then using basketball, start dribbling, start learning some of those skills and keep them with that. Unfortunately, while everybody else is developing players, we just do it for a season, and it's done, then we move on to something
else.
And
it's very limited. It's not like we're playing a ton of games. We'll play 8-10 games maybe in the our season, and teams like Hazard and Knott County, those guys are playing 30 to 40. It's significant difference when you're doing it that way. So,
and that's why, district and or especially regional titles, I will say. That's why they're so few and far between
You have to have the special teams.
You're exactly right. You have to have a deep bench and the skill set in order to pull it off.
This girls' team was never really projected to be one of those special teams. They got some special players, but not necessarily a special team. And to me, it's about, it's a team sport. It is what it is. And this is, I think they do well, and they've got some really tremendous talent on this team. It's just, team-wise, it's just not getting it done.
Well, and basically had to go out. Some players, not a lot, but some players didn't come back that played in previous years. And so now you're going out trying to recruit players
that
to come and
as
play.
Capable.
Correct. And maybe it's been since elementary school since they did play, to fill up a roster.
And that, we've talked about this before, too. That is who you're practicing against. So your kids are going to have a lot of success in practice and think you're pretty good. until you go play a game and everybody's a lot better than the team you're practicing against. That's kind of the downfall I see. You know, in years past, whenever we've had the really successful, you know, girls teams, we could almost go 10 to 12 deep, and the five that are on the floor, we could put five more and be even, or at least just a notch below. And when you can do that, you can have really good teams. We're just not there. And again, it's not anybody. I'm not blaming anybody. It's just a system failure.
A collective system failure. Again, you can almost pick any sport in this community, and that's kind of...
There's just lack of interest. I'll say this. I know they had a pep rally, I think, last week, and I think they allowed only the kids that wanted to go to the pep rally go, and they had probably less than 60 out of 600. And when you have 600 students in your building and only 60 of them interested in sports, and part of those numbers are their teams. And that's all the kids we saw probably over in the pep section the other night, which was nice. I loved it.
Yeah.
But we got to have more interest in that. We got to have more kids and interest in how our student athletes are doing in their sports that they're playing. I don't know. It's been slipping for years. I've noticed when I was teaching. I noticed it as a coach. I notice it now as a radio personality or whatever. You know, you see these things, and just don't have a lot of student interest like we should have.
Correct. And where did that disconnect come from? You know, pre-COVID kind of started,
maybe.
And then COVID hits, and all of a sudden kids have found other ways to spend their time, and therefore I'm not coming out to play sports.
I think that, but I also think, too, it's a culture thing. I think from talking to kids, and you hear this all the time. Well, I can't play because I'm not somebody. And you hear that, and I'm thinking, well, that's not true. You could play, you know, if you have the ability to get there. And I will say this. If you don't have supportive parents, it's hard to play any sport at any school. Because if you don't have the parents to be able to take you to practice, pick you up from practice, that can buy you a car so you can take yourself to and from practice. If you don't have those folks involved, you have very little chance to be able to play because the practice schedule is too rough because you practice all the time.
Right.
And I think you have a lot of kids who might like to play, but they can't. They just can't afford it. They don't have the parents' support. They don't have the wherewithal to be able to get that vehicle to get them to practice and back without maybe having to work for it. And then that gets in the way of practice too. So you have a element of of the students that just think that because you're an athlete, you're special. And it's not necessarily true, but I know what they're saying. It is that way. It is a little bit about you have to be able to at least afford to take your kid to and from practice or let them go on their own. And it costs more. And you know as well as I do, it's not like everybody can't play, but it's difficult for this community to be able to put those kids in position to play. You don't have a lot of kids that can afford it.
Correct. Now, it's different going to the summer months when all of a sudden the kid, he doesn't care to walk 5 miles to get to the city park or ride a bike to the city park or catch a ride with somebody and go play all day at the city park on the basketball court and then come home later on that night. Totally different issue.
It's a nice day when it's 30 degrees outside. It's not happening.
Correct. You know, during the fall, winter months, you're not going to have those kids that are out there doing that.
I'll tell you what, though, when you get into end of March, when it starts to get into like 50 or 60, though, the court's starting to lighten up. We'll have kids at the courts playing ball. And those kids typically don't come out for school ball.
And good athletes.
Yes.
Good athletes.
They're not necessarily team sport players. And what I mean by that is it's hard to coach some of these kids to be able to be disciplined enough to play the games.
And right.
That's,
yeah.
That's really all it's ever been. And I don't think it's a who hasn't. I think it's more about that's a mindset. And I think it's a little bit incorrect, but I know where they're coming from.
Well, they have to be open to take instruction.
Yep.
Constructive criticism, right? To show you a different way to do this. Instead, when we go play a pickup game, it's a free for all.
I'm on my own.
Right? Yeah. That's exactly right. I've got me, and it's not that I'm not worried about my teammates at that particular time, but it's a pickup game. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, your team will change after,
rules are
you know,
different.
They're definitely different.
Rules are different. So anyway, we'll take this argument, and again, not an argument, but it's
something needs to change in order to provide better opportunities for our kids at a younger level to keep that sustainability going forward where they can be successful.
And if we're talking about basketball, honestly, I think it's going to take an indoor type of facility to be able to get that done. Some kind of a community center that you can play basketball year round.
Some potentially, then it goes back to as well. Now you're still looking at transportation and
no, no. I agree with it. But some parents would love to take their kids, drop them off for 4 or 5 hours a day. If they know
to have like a community center.
That's kind of a dream for some people.
Right.
Yeah, we'll love to drop you off for 5, 6, 7 hours and
right.
know that you're going to be taken care of. And they got possible maybe the food in the building or something. They won't go hungry or whatever. But right. It's
snacks and drinks.
Yeah, that would be absolutely phenomenal in this area. And not that you have to have it, but it would allow kids to go inside and be able to do whatever they wanted to. Even if it had a community center that had batting cages and they gave lessons and. You could have more things going on in there. You could have somebody come in and give basketball lessons on shooting or dribbling or balling, whatever it is, and you're paying somebody to do that. You may get more kids interested in doing that than you think. I just think that kind of element would really help help us out. We just don't have facilities in the community to be able to have anything like that, and it would be nice to have.
You're right. And, the Georgetown Pavilion, if you've ever been there or not, it's like a YMCA type of thing. Indoor courts, indoor conference rooms,
mm-hmm. yeah,
weight rooms, yeah. exercise rooms, walking track, swimming pool. You've got all kinds of options.
I would guarantee you this right now. I would guarantee you there are grants available for buildings like that, that if you're working in the county judge's office, the city council, and the school system, you can find opportunities for those grants if you just want to get out and work at it.
And we've mentioned this before, but the collective bodies have to come together and let's get on the same page and let's try and make change for it. We're all community partners. We can all buy in to do the same thing. And you've got a little money, I've got a little money, and they've got a little money. And let's collectively and let's make these things happen for our kids.
Be nice for a community to work together, get that done. But I don't know if I see that happening or not, but anyway, we'll take a break.
Well, and as of today, neither one of us are running for an office.
No, we're not. Back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across Central and Eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can experience
expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
We haven't forgotten. We are going to boys basketball next. We will give you the upcoming girls games.
Yeah, actually scheduled for Monday.
At Wolf, right?
No. Owsley.
Monday's at Owsley?
22nd. Is the 22nd Monday?
Heck, I don't know. I know today's the 17th. All 18th? Oh, that's tomorrow. That's why I thought. Tomorrow night will probably not happen with Wolf County. The next game, yes, is Owsley County next Monday. Right? 19th Friday, Saturday, yes. 22nd Monday at Owsley and the 26th at Estill.
Correct.
22nd may be in jeopardy.
It may. Now, if it is not, if for some reason we have school, we will be covering that game. We will be going on the road.
And Facebook Live, I believe.
Correct, well, right? Yes. And that will be a boys-girls doubleheader. Again, that's scheduled for Monday at Owsley County. Well, that remains to be seen.
Right now, on the schedule for the girls, two district games next week. Who knows when the Lee County game gets thrown in. And it may not be a doubleheader. It may have to play a game to where it's girls only, boys only.
Just based on the remaining open dates.
Yeah, all I can tell you about that is to stay tuned here to the KHS, or to WSKV and until they update. And we know, we'll let you know on radio, and then Ethan will sure let you know on the schedule. So, that being said, we'll... move on over to boys basketball.
So the boys coming in with a record of 5-10, I believe, at this point. Yeah. 5-9, 5-10. They ended up traveling. They lost in the 2A at the beginning of the month to Mason County, and then followed that up a week later, basically ended up losing to Knott County Central at Knott County Central. And then they ended up playing host to Estill County on Friday. Ended up losing that game. 75-67 was the final in that one. And Estill County came out, took the early lead, led 15-10 at the end of the first quarter, led at the half 32-28. Pirates had actually taken the lead in the second quarter and looked like they were going to take the lead going into the second half. Kind of had a breakdown. And then in the third quarter, they were outscored 23-15. Trailed by 12, 55-43. And then they, even though they outscored Estill 24-20 in that fourth quarter, Estill ended up coming away with the win. Not a lot of defense in that fourth quarter. A lot of baskets back and forth. The Pirates kind of some ill-advised shots at times when they were coming back and would make a run. They'd get down within four and then, you know, take an ill-advised shot or miss a shot, not get the rebound. Estill will come back and basically make them pay for it to come away with that win. But the boys have struggled throughout the season. One minute you see a team, it's just like, oh, this is the team, like, okay, that we were expecting to see. And then they come out the next game, and it's like a whole different team.
Yeah, well.
And it's hard. They've been up and down all season. Obviously, their record is indicative of that, but not quite sure what to expect at any given time with this team.
I will say this, and I'm not trying to slam anyone. This team last year was, what, 500, just a little over 500?
14-19.
Under 500, sorry.
At the end of the season,
last year, or the year before last, they were under 500.
6-something.
It's basically the same group of kids, right?
Correct.
And I'm knocking the kid. We've got some talent. I think these kids are better than they were, but they're not necessarily better as a team. The 5-10 record, this, I think we should be better than that. But this is the third year in a row with the same group of kids. Therefore, maybe we're just not as good as we think we are.
Collectively as a team.
As a team.
Yes.
And either that or something is broken with the system. You can put someone on the coach, you can put someone on the players. I don't know where all the issues lie. I would hope this team was better than 5-10. I'm not sure that they are. When you can bring these kids out and you play a pretty tough schedule, then you may not be better than what you think they are. So, you know, maybe going into the season when it started, and I'm talking about record-wise, going into the season when you think, okay, we should be able to win. You know, if you think you should be 8-7 right now, okay, you're not that far off where you should be, but you're off your mark. If you think right now you should be 7-9, well, then you're still off your mark a little bit, maybe for the better side, but you're still off your mark. So, and if we pick up, we're losing another game Friday. If we lose that game with Buckhorn, it's home game. If you get the Lee County game back, I think you're better than Lee. I think you're better than Owsley. I'm not sure you're better than a lot of other people. That being said, I wish you guys would convince me otherwise.
Well, again, because there's not been the consistency
to
really gauge on. Because like I said, one hand, you know, you're watching the game. It's just like, man, they're working the boards. Defense is great. They're making their shots. They're doing everything as a team.
But then
you
turn around.
Correct. But then again, you go to the very next game and all of a sudden it's like that same team didn't show up or it's not the same. And you're like, what happened in between those two games?
But with some of the runs that we have, this team can play well for 4 or 5 minutes and then all of a sudden lose their mind and just like be terrible for 5 or 6 minutes.
And that's when the teams take the lead.
Yeah, and then pick it back up and it's too late.
So, I mean,
they have glimpses of good basketball and they have glimpses of really bad basketball. Somewhere in the middle, I think, is where this team is. I wish they would live in the middle versus being pretty good or really bad. I wish they would somewhere meet in the middle and just being decent for 32 minutes.
And they're not playing consistent for 32 minutes, right? And that's the breakdown.
That's part of the problem. And I'm not knocking anyone. These guys are going out there and they're busting their butts. They're playing hard. I think they're doing most of what they're asked to do. But I think fundamentally we have some issues. You know, when I just don't think we're outstanding on defense, and we've got some pretty good defensive players. But team-wise, we're not there. It's the same kind of conversation we just had about the girls. This team is, I don't know, people think this team should be better than what they are. And then obviously that goes, the blame usually goes to the coach when it's that way. I'm not saying it's all the coach, all the players. I think it's a little bit of a mix of both. I think there are things that we have got to do better as far as from the coaching staff. But as far as the players are concerned, there's some things that they need to do better as well. They need to, you know, learn situational basketball, where they are, what's a good shot, what's a bad shot. At some point, they've got to learn what those things are. And we've talked about this all year long, or I have, during the broadcast. We try to draw fouls, and this is universal. This is boys and girls. We go in and try to make the contact and draw the foul. That has not been called the entire season. To me, it's a bailout kind of call anyway. I like the game called better when you're not rewarding that player for drawing the contact and making the shot. If they're playing good defense, let the defense play. Now, they can't knock you down or whatever and make the contact. But if they're straight up and they're just in good defensive position and you run into them, it's not a foul. Don't act like you should go on the free throw line when that happens, because it wouldn't be a good call if it was. And I'm not saying you won't ever get that call, but this year they're not calling it. So find a different shot. Don't take it as deep as you're taking it. Pull up, use a little bank shot, knock it down, go the other way. And we're not doing really well in transition. We're not getting back fast enough to cover. I just think we're not as good as what we should be. But I think people also think they're better than what they are. Does that make any sense?
To me, it does. And I concur with everything that you said. And even defensively, so Parker Maybrier hits 6 3-pointers in the game. He's an Estill County player, 6 3-pointers. We didn't cover him on defense. So
he's
hitting wide open threes again. Where's the guy that should be covering? And that's been a breakdown as well. We're leaving players wide open that are burning us up.
We do that every game. We make bad 3-point shooting teams into the best in the state because we leave a lot of shooters open.
And in time, they're going to start making them.
Right? It's just like Estill County went cold there for a while. What happened when they went cold? We came back. Don't expect a team that's shooting 35% on the season to miss a bunch of shots, because they're eventually going to hit their shots.
But then when all of a sudden you make that run and you come back, you still don't defend. Correct. Then at that point, now they make a shot, then you come back and you miss one, and they come back and make it. Next thing you know, now instead of it being four, they're back up 10.
And
it's hard to come back again to recover from
it. It seems like when the other team makes that 4 or 6 point run, we're helping them. We'll go down and try to still be in a hurry and force a shot that turns over into a defensive rebound. They're going back the other way. So a bad shot selection is like a 4 to 5 point run. They make a shot, you come down, miss, they go down, make, you come down, force another one. That's 7-8 points that they went up on you because you have forced shots that you shouldn't be taking, or they're not the best shots. I wish our players would go back and watch the film and say, okay, look, grade yourself on shot selection. Write it on the paper. You don't have to tell anybody what you're doing. Chart it. Do it yourself. Chart how many quality shots you took versus how many forced shots you took. See how it levels out. I guarantee if you go back and watch the video, you'll see what I'm talking about. But you have to do it purposefully to figure out what you're not doing correctly.
Accountability.
Yeah,
right? You have to be accountable on those possessions. Were you out of place defensively?
Yes.
Were you not in the right place offensively? Did you take a bad shot, a bad pass? Again, score yourself, right? Grade
yourself. Yeah.
And let's figure out what can I do, and then how does that equate into a team concept as far as collectively what can we do?
You know, some people can go watch film and, you know, you chart a game. You go back and chart the entire game yourself. Go back and chart how many rebounds everybody got. Go back, do the assists. Do the deflections. Do rebounds. You just chart the game. You'll learn a little bit while what you're watching. But then you got to maybe go back and watch it again to find out, okay, let's just watch me. Let's just watch this happen. Let's just watch that happen. It was like I was talking to you the other day, and I talked about to one of the fans that came to the game. I was talking to David Goodwin. About, you know, post moves, about screening, and I said this on the air. Our ball handlers are not using screeners in the best way. You should rub off the screener when you run by. You should
touch an elbows. You're rubbing elbows.
You need to make contact or come in with that area where you're running right by your player.
Yeah.
If you hit them hard, that's okay, because you're supposed to be getting close. If you're taking a wide gap between a screener, you're putting that person with a chance to move to screen that guy because you took it too wide.
Right.
And that's not his fault. That's the ball handler's fault.
But now he picks up the foul.
He picks up the foul.
And now he's going to the bench because he's just picked up two personal fouls, let's say.
If you take the guy out for setting the screen wrong, I get it. But that ain't his fault. It's the guy with the ball's fault if it's a ball screen. You set those screens, you know, for whoever you're setting it for. Somebody's got to rub off that screener. That's basically it. We're not doing that. They made 4 calls in a row, in the first half against us on those moving screens, and every one of them were good calls. Now, I'm not saying you can't call it throughout the game. They call one on Estill kind of later. They call one that they didn't call one against Estill late in the game. That was the moving screen, obvious to us. But it was maybe a 1 of 2 calls that were missed all night. The officials did a good job of officiating that ball game against Estill. We just didn't do a good job of executing.
So then, to me, it goes back to, this is just a general statement. Again, I'm not saying this about any players because we talk about teams. But, like, I'm not so sure that the IQ, the sport IQ, and pick any sport, I'm not so sure that the kids truly know the game like they should know it.
If
in those positions to know, again, as the guard, guess what? You've got to rub up against there. So as opposed to going wide and having your player, your teammate, pick up a personal foul. I'm not so sure, again, blocking out, that we're teaching some of these things where I understand this is why I'm blocking out, this is how I'm blocking out, this is the technique I'm using in order to get offensive and defensive rebounds in order to give us those second chance opportunities, or whatever it might be. I'm not so sure that we put those things into practice.
It's like this, and I use this on the girl side. I know they know how to block out because they're taught really well how to block out. Second part of that is release. To go get the rebound, you have to release from the block out. Our kids are blocking out, and they're not releasing.
And then the other team's getting the rebound.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Put it together. It's a big picture. It's not a one way. The block outs are phenomenal. But if you don't get the ball back, it doesn't really matter. Which is why you see like some kids, maybe like Makaira, pick up a bunch of extra rebounds because, okay, there's really good block outs, just go pick up the loose ball. If you block someone out that well, you should be able to go pick up that ball really quick without you committing a foul or make them commit a foul. That's just put it together.
It's putting the know-how into practice, right? Yes. As far as like actually implementing,
you know, step
that.
One, they got to get step two. And right. It may come in baby steps. It may come in the last five games of the season. That's fine. But it's got to get there. You know?
We're not putting those steps together consistently throughout the full 32 minutes in order to be successful time and time again.
If Allen wants to run this motion offense, you got to set screens. And if you don't set screens, if you don't know how to set a screen, stop what you're doing. Let's do something different. But again, if you're not screening a basketball, you're not really playing basketball. So there, you have to learn how to set a screen and have to set it well. If you don't, then we got to restart. We got to go back to the basics. That's on us as coaches. If our players aren't doing what we're supposed to do, we got to go back and rework on that. And if they don't understand it, it's our fault for not maybe getting it to where they understand it.
But I even think going back to the elementary school level, we have to teach them the game, and here's why I need you to stand here in a 2-3 zone defense, and this is your area, and this is how you move your body and why you move your body. Like, I feel like that we need to break the game down. Pick any sport, you need to break it down and to put it into perspective on why you're doing these things.
My wife tells me all the time, because you know it and understand what you're saying doesn't necessarily mean the kids know what you're saying.
But you can't teach that to a junior or senior.
No, but I'm just saying, there is a lot of truth to that statement. There's a lot of things I can know, and I know what I'm saying. Why are they not getting it? Because maybe they don't understand some of the terminology. Maybe they don't.
They've never been taught.
It's possible.
Right.
We know what they should know.
Or think they should know.
That's the problem. We think they know. They may not know. We got to really get down and teach. If you're not willing to get down and teach why we got to do what we got to do, then maybe you need to take a step back and do a little bit of analysis on yourself. Because these kids may not understand the whys. There's one question that I think is the best question in the world always is why. You don't have to be a smart aleck to ask why. But if you don't know, you need to ask.
Correct.
And if you don't understand the whys, ask, because that falls on the player at that point. You know, if they don't understand, they don't ask, they don't know. If you're in class and you ask a teacher to help me with a math problem, and if you don't know how to do it and they don't help, it's not your fault, it's the teacher's fault. Because they're asking for help, and if you can't explain it in a way that helps them, then we're not helping. So the teacher has to go back and kind of analyze what they're teaching that kid, and there may be another way to get that the same information on a different route. Whether it's another voice, whether it's another a student coming in and explaining it totally differently, as long as we get them to that point, it's okay. But we as coaches also need to know we don't always explain it to where they understand it.
Agreed.
And we just all assume they understood.
And you and I have had this conversation as well, where let's say, for instance, I'm teaching geometry. Now, with that being said, why am I not building a house to show the different angles and the pitch of a roof or something? And, hey, here's the angle on how you do that. Here's the square, the rectangle, here's the windows, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. To put it into a practical applications instead, it's all abstract stuff. And sometimes, especially for kids these days, at least I feel that way, if they had it into a different perspective, maybe they would understand it. So therefore, even with comes to sports, put in a different perspective. As an example, we've seen those basketballs that have the handprints on them, the placement. Give those kids those basketballs when they're in elementary school to where they know this is where you hold your hands and this is why you hold your hands there.
Now, here's the thing.
Just as far as proper form.
You don't have to look to get the feel.
Correct.
Once you do it enough, you got the feel.
You're right.
You know, it's like when I pick up a baseball, from an outfield throw, you want to throw across the two wide seams, right? I want to make my throw that way to make it not rise, but it makes it stay level longer. Or they say rise, but anyway, you want that grip. Can you always, if you're going to make a quick throw, do you always get that grip? No, but when you reach down for the ball, you will try to manipulate that ball and get it to where you want it before you make that throw.
Well, you've done it so many times at that point,
muscle memory and repetition.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So if you teach yourselves good habits at an early age, it's just natural. It just happens because of enough practice. And you know what you're doing. You know why you're doing it. It's just a matter of doing it more often. And I'm not sure that's the part I think some of these kids miss is we may not be doing it early enough and often enough at that early age to where now it's like rote memory. It's just nothing for these players to go back
and do. And by the time they get to the high school, you can't change someone's form. It's very difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult. So that being said, that's why we think we're where we are. So next upcoming, we've got a couple breaks left to go. We'll take a break and come back and maybe close up after that.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Well, that was a quick break. So I guess
it was a quick break.
Yeah, I think because we're at the 7 o'clock hour, it's not rolling on with this next break. So what we're going to do here is talk about upcoming.
So the boys are scheduled. Doubtful it's going to happen to play host to Buckhorn on Friday.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't see that happening. And then from there, the boys are actually away at Owsley on the 22nd, at Morgan on the 24th, at Essel on the 26th, at Lee on the 30th. So their next four games are away, 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 away.
Next four games, next 13 days, right?
Yeah, and what's interesting is that three of the four are actually against district opponents.
Now, where do we stand? We'll say this. Where do we stand right now in the district? We are
1-1 are okay. The Pirates, and Estill is leading at 3-0 on the season.
I think Estill will. I think Estill will run the gauntlet as far as district. Powell can play better against them over there. We'll have to see how that game comes out. I do think Estill will not lose against Lee and Owsley.
I'm not so sure they will allow Powell to win at home.
If you go over and you earn it, then maybe you can win it, right?
Correct. Yes, but they're going to do everything that they can. They already beat you at home.
Yeah.
Therefore, they're going to defend their home court and play with a little bit more intensity.
And since we're talking about Estill, I would like to say this. Coach Brian Hall lost his father this week, so we'd like to send our condolences and prayers out to Brian, the team. If anybody over there listens, just let them know that we care. And we have sent out the prayers to Brian and the team. So I know how much Brian loves his family, worked with him for years. So you're in our thoughts, fella.
And I will say this real quick, too. We'll do this next week, but we'll talk about the district tournament and the boys and girls regional dates and not so much the matchups, but at least the dates and everything, what's happening next week.
Yeah, we'll say the regional tournament boys is right here in Powell County, right?
Yeah.
Easy call. All right. Thanks for listening to us tonight. Stay safe with the weather upcoming. We'll see you sometime here in the future on PCSN Live.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Allen's Hardware is a hidden gem in Clay City and known for their dependable down-home service. Visit Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road and you'll find Valspar Paints, Echo Power Tools, Electrical Supplies, Septic System Accessories, Key Cutting Services, and even U-Haul Rentals. That's Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road in Clay City. To find out more, call 606-663-1122. That's 606-663-1122.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranteed Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
The music of the